Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, Hoodie, and I back Monday morning, 7 a.m.
Morning, John.
Hi, John. How are you, buddy?
Morning, David. How are you?
Carm and Yerk in for Crosstalk. That's brought to you by the Club Hawthorne app. Watch and wager on horse races across the country with the Club Hawthorne app. Great odds in every race. Betting in just a few easy clicks and live stream races. Download the app or bet online at clubhawthorne.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Carmen, Yurko, bop, 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 bop. Carmen, Yurko, bop, 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 bop.
A little heavy metal action.
It's nice little change of pace.
I like that.
We
yeah.
do. It's a Friday. Sound
like the System of a Down right there.
Yeah, I like that. Pegasus this weekend. Bet on the Club Hawthorne.
I heard you were prepping, Yurk, by watching Secretariat.
I watched Secretariat last night.
You were watching? Oh, that movie, yeah.
The Ashpeta. So watched it last night. It got me to wanting to hear The Call. So I wanted to hear The Call in its entirety. I didn't watch the Derby, but I watched the Preakness.
Was it Dave Johnson on the call?
I couldn't tell you.
Once a month, Yurko watches that highlight.
No, he is moving like a tremendous machine.
And it truly is because the Pegasus is being run at Gulfstream Park.
Right.
It's a real nice big race to kind of kick off racing, I believe, for the new year. And with the Kentucky Derby being back on the first Saturday of May. And now you're going to have all your prep races start, like your local.
There was one last week.
Yeah, your 10-point races will start now. You know, you'll get 10 points if you get the victory. The 100-point races are later on in the year.
Yeah, that's correct.
There's nothing like a track announcer that feels like he's got skin in the game, too. Like, I didn't think anyone would be better than Phil Georgieff.
Remember him.
But Dave Johnson also, you kind of feel like, you know what, I think you're betting on my horse, too.
Yeah, which is good, right? That's what you want.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
That was some performance at the Belmont, though.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, how about it?
I remember where I was when he won that race.
I wasn't born.
I was 12 at the time.
Wow. What was it, 75?
73.
73.
Yeah,
73.
3 years away from being born.
Yeah, I was one with a big
Woody
afro.
Woody was one.
I was six and afro. Didn't give a rat's ass about racing.
No, you did not.
No, didn't care.
What'd you care
I
about?
Did. I loved it as a little kid.
What'd you care about?
Making sure I was going to get something to eat. And a pen to the heavens, my mom was going to dress me like a fool.
Right. Pretty much.
You should see some of the outfits she put on me. Crushed velvet was in at one time.
Well, you got to understand. I mean, Sears had the tough skins, and they had good outfits for the Husky section.
That's exactly where I shopped.
Right. Exactly.
Ma'am, you need to take your boy to the Husky section.
That's right.
Thank you very kindly. I'll be going there. Thank you.
That's what they called it.
I know it.
Saddle shoes section. And like Alabama hat, Bear Bryant's hat, kind of pattern.
Like a houndstooth.
A short suit, like shorts with the jacket.
Oh my God!
It's like my mom wanted me, this little immigrant boy, to get his ass kicked.
Yeah,
that's what she wanted.
You weren't off the boat. You were an American. You were here.
Well, listen,
I was here, but I was off the boat.
I understand that, but not fresh off the boat. You could still wear modern clothes.
I would have hoped so, but they weren't happening. You would have hoped so.
The Husky section.
The Husky section. That you used to see the signs at Marshall Field or at Sears. Husky section.
For us, it was a local store called Alpert's.
Alpert's? Yeah.
Alpert's.
Yep.
I don't think they call it Husky anymore.
Well, it's the Husky section.
No, it's a little more. Well, listen, you knew what you were back then.
Yeah.
They put you in the Husky section.
Yeah,
I was a little more sensitive.
They
no class ranks. I asked my daughter, what's her rank? She's like a 4.165. I say, what's your class rank? I said, you know, you got college stuff coming on. You're going to do some applications and stuff like that. Oh, we don't have those, Dad.
Okay. Searching for class rank college on the app.
Well, thank you. I don't know what just triggered there. Is that Siri?
Yes.
Somebody's Siri.
My heavens.
Like, so funny. That was Hoodies, I think, on his iPad.
That's a fine.
Well, I said, when they ask you the question on the application, what the hell you put down? They don't want the kids unduly competing against each other. God forbid there be competition.
Yeah.
What does competition do? Competition is the driver
of
innovation.
Yes, that's right.
Come on. What the hell's going on?
Well, isn't...
that's neither here nor there.
Necessity the driver of innovation?
No. The mother of invention.
That's true.
Necessity, the mother of invention.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. How do I get this down with these square wheels? Oh, how about I make them circular?
That's what Fred Flintstone did.
Right.
He made it happen. Him and Slate
did make it happen.
Him and Mr. Slate came together.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that Mr. Slate.
Slate works down the hall here.
Yeah, he's a genius. Yeah, that's right.
He works in sales.
Upstairs.
He works in sales here.
Yerk, your picks this weekend.
Ah, boy.
Green Bay -3.5, Buffalo +3.
Oh, I got Green Bay minus the points. I think they're going to respond to the beating they took earlier down in Tampa in late September, early October. I think if Patrick Mahomes plays, this is Kansas City by double digits.
Wow, double digits. Yeah. They haven't beaten anybody by double digits
in
months.
That was destined to happen last week until Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah,
they were stretching their legs out. They had a 12-point lead. They were getting ready to go ahead and put the whooping on Cleveland. Hmm. But because Mahomes gets hurt, it doesn't necessarily happen. So I like to chalk this weekend.
I'll take the double digits if you want to give them out.
I don't. I'm not giving it out. You can go bet your bookie and whatever he's got.
I'm not getting double digits.
I understand.
Are you kidding me?
I understand it. I'm just telling you that's what I feel is going to end up happening. Don't got a good feel on either one of the numbers, the over-unders. Don't have a feeling on it.
No, three straight overs.
I don't know what the totals are.
51.5 in the first game, 54 in the second. Three straight overs in playoff games at Lambeau. The last three playoff games in Lambeau Field, going all the way back to, I think it's 2015, have been over.
I think it'll happen again.
Maybe. It may be.
And as far as the Pegasus goes, Math Wizard is my pick.
Math Wizard.
Yes.
Okay. I would take the under in the Chiefs game.
Under in the Chiefs game.
Over in the Peck.
I agree.
And I'm taking the Buccaneers and the Bills to win the games outright.
Both road teams.
Both money line plays then.
Yes. Yeah, you might as well play both of those on the money
line. Might as well. Well, we'll see. Time will tell. It's the beauty.
Here's a brain teaser for you.
Okay.
This will come up if Green Bay wins the Super Bowl. Who's better, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, if Rodgers wins this year? Who's had the better career?
Well, who's had the better career or who's the better quarterback?
Yes.
I don't know.
I
think Rodgers is a little bit better, to be honest. That's just me. I'm probably in the minority there.
Yeah, I know Peyton Manning.
I am.
You are too, Hoodie? No.
I have to sit back and look at the totality, but I think overall just the quarterback position. Oh, man. If Aaron Rodgers wins? I'd go with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
See, would tie him with Peyton.
It would tie him.
Right. See, that's the new conversation because everyone talks about, like, Brady Manning. That doesn't work. Like, Brady's the GOAT. And Manning had a great career, no question.
Of course.
But some will say that Manning was better.
Do you guys realize Aaron Rodgers has a career touchdown interception ratio of, like, 4.5 to 1?
Yep.
I mean, it's obscene.
That is obscene.
It's obscene.
Now, are you getting away from Manning because you haven't seen him on the field lately?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he was great now.
At the end, it was awful. At the end, though, he was bad.
But I can put that aside. Like, I can look at Peyton's prime and know that he's certainly one of the five best quarterbacks ever. Sure. But I think Rodgers is in that.
With Marino being at the number one of that list.
Yeah, sure.
For me.
Sure.
Marino's number one.
I just think Aaron Rodgers, has anybody ever been as accurate on the run as Aaron Rodgers? I don't think so. His ability to not turn the ball over.
He's better than Brett Favre.
Yes,
we're not having that discussion.
No, we're not. Right. He's better than Brett Favre.
He's better than Brett Favre.
Dan Marino was on NFL Network the other day, and he said his second year, he goes, I get to the Super Bowl, and we lose. He goes, and I'm devastated. They're like, dude.
You'll be back.
You'll be back 5 times. He goes, still waiting.
Yeah.
So Marino over Elway and...
And Aikman.
And
if you're playing it at the same time, yeah.
I would say yes.
Easy for me.
Easy. I would say that's easy.
Marino over Elway and Montana?
I got him over Montana. I got Marino's my number one quarterback.
Marino was probably better than Montana, wasn't he? I know that won't be popular, but.
He was a slinger.
Yeah, he changed it.
He understood that negative yardage was bad and would just dump the ball at the feet of his receivers, knowing that you don't take sacks in this league.
It's a great debate, and it's a great conversation. It just shows you the plethora of quarterbacks we had during that time. Because you could throw Jim Kelly in there, you could throw Warren Moon in there as well. They played at a big time level. Now people will just count the rings,
right? You got to get away from that. Like Marino was revolutionary.
Yeah.
The way he played the position, the skill, the isotoners, the back shoulder throw, right, Yerk? I mean, he sort of invented that.
Right. 1990 Cleveland. I watched it happen right in front of my eyes.
It's hard. You look at Peyton Manning's numbers, man. Holy.
Yeah, and then look at Rodgers.
That's going to
look at Rodgers. Rodgers' passer rating is significantly better for his career, and his touchdown interception ratio. And I mean, like, yeah, it's...
See, Jeff, that's going to be the new debate. If Rodgers is able to win a second championship, people will look at those two.
What's Rodgers' career passing, Mark?
I bet you it's
Mahomes just passed
Mahomes
him.
Mahomes and Watson, and, I think, just passed him.
For all time. That's the difference, though. Time. Look, like,
I think it's like 108 or something like that.
Yeah, Manning's like 97.
See, the hard part is you can't bring stats in with guys like Marino.
No, you can't.
Because we talked about this the other day. The game has changed. Like, Peyton Manning, as great as he was, there's a long time. Like, he's thrown 10 yards, you know, and he's dissecting the defense, so give him all the credit in the world. But it's not, they're not doing things the same way.
No.
The stats, you got to throw out the window.
It's hard to compare quarterbacks by, like, how many 30 touchdown seasons did John Elway have?
None.
None.
The answer is none.
The answer to that question is zero.
Yeah, Rodgers,
because it was such a different game. Oh, 103. Okay, I said 108. 103.9.
And Marino only had, I think, four.
I think that's right, Yerk.
Marino only had four 30-plus seasons.
I believe he had four.
Two 40-plus seasons.
I think Montana had one.
And part of the reason for
that. Such a different game.
Part of the reason for that, too.
Seven 30-touchdown seasons.
Is the fact that.
Seven.
But here's the thing. Now you're close to the goal line. Teams are more than willing to throw near the goal line.
Sure.
Back when Marino was playing, when Jim Kelly were playing, they wouldn't. If you got to the 5-yard line, they're pounding the ball in.
That was it. Manning 9 30 touchdowns.
And what's Rodgers' touchdown interceptions?
I'll give you Peyton first because I'm on his page. Touchdowns for Manning 539.
Yeah.
To 251 interceptions.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, touchdown interception for career.
Ready?
412-89.
Oh, come on.
412 touchdowns to 89 interceptions. Man. It's better than 4-1.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
Come on.
It's insane.
Forgot about Fouts. Fouts also was great.
Fouts was great.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to put him in there. That's
Fouts.
For sure.
The argument that's going to help get Phillip Rivers in is Dan Fouts is also. Phillip Rivers never run anything. Did Dan Fouts win anything? But he was great.
My argument also for Marino sometimes go against the mean. Whatever the mean was for your starting quarterbacks of the year, how much above the mean was it? Please. And then when you take a look at, you know, above the mean here in different statistical categories, ask yourself those same questions to find out how good was one guy. I mean, he revolutionized what was happening.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get out of your way.
All right, boys.
Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
Carm and Yerk are next. Hoodie, have a wonderful weekend, my man.
All right, let's watch Carm on Twitch this Sunday. Outside. It's going to be great.
Well, maybe I'll go outside. We'll see. Fun.
There you go. Download our podcast, ESPN Chicago app for iPhone and Android. See ya.
Hey, sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now and use the code ESPN2K and get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Don't miss this opportunity, guys. Think about it. Two bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, the proud partner of the Chicago Bears, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards at your fingertips, all on an easy-to-use app rated number one on Trustpilot. It is easy to use. You're going to love it. And PointsBet right now is outdoing the competition in Illinois. They are live with -105 spreads on all NBA and all NFL games. All NBA, all NFL, -105. Don't pay 110 juice when you can only pay 105. So why would you gamble anywhere else? Doesn't make sense. It's the only sports book to use. PointsBet. Download the app today. Get going. And when you sign up, use the code ESPN2K to get those two risk-free bets up to $2,000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Well, it's the penultimate Football Friday of the year. We're down to three games, Yurko. That's it.
I know. It does get sad.
It gets a little sad.
It does get sad at this time of the year.
You know, now the game should be good. You got Championship Sunday and then the Super Bowl. The game should be good. We've got four good teams left. We'll have two after Sunday. But this is it. We got three games left. Sunday's a fabulous day. I always love Championship Sunday.
You sit back, you relax, and it's dedicated to football. Two games, concentrate on who's going to be representing which conference in the Super Bowl. It's fantastic.
Won't leave the count.
Already got a pool. I'm in a pool for both games. Nice. Sit back, relax, see if I can't make a shekel or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. But you got to pace yourself this weekend. I don't want to give the keys to a great weekend away for the AFC Championship, NFC Championship games. But you need to pace yourself.
That's a good key.
You go heavy, you go home. First game's not until 2 o'clock. You usually get started about 11:30 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
By 5 o'clock, you're going to be a goner.
That's right.
You're going to have to puke and rally. You might have to go puke and rally, Carm.
I'm too old to puke and rally.
Oh, boy, I puked and rally about a couple months ago.
Not for
me.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great tip, Yurko, because if you go too hard too early,
yeah,
you wake up Monday morning saying, I know who's the representative from the NFC,
right.
but who are they playing from the AFC?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. What happened in that Buffalo-Kansas City game? I blanked out in the third quarter. Yeah, pace yourself. First game's at 2:05, second game's after that. Yurko's going to give you his keys to both games. We'll break down both games as we go through the show today. Todd Furman has the angles in Vegas about an hour and 10 minutes from now. Mike North has his bonus play. Could be another basketball play. He gave out a winner last
Friday. Tough hockey night for him last night.
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Hockey's tweets.
I got to be honest. Hockey is a tough sport to gamble.
It's demonic. Got to be careful.
Yeah, it's tough.
But Mike Gill, come on, give us a bonus play.
11:45 as he does each and every Friday. Mike and I have a full hour of Odds Couple after Bleck and Abdallah tonight, 7 to 8 here on ESPN 1000. We'll break down Championship Sunday. Talk about UFC 257. Conor McGregor.
Love it.
Right? Is back in the octagon for the first time in a little while. I know there's a lot of buzz about that for tomorrow, so Mike and I will have all of that fun stuff covered.
Poirier, going up against Poirier.
Dustin Poirier.
That's it right there for you, Carl.
In my research, I found out that he TKO'd him in the first round back in 2014 when they fought, but that was a long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
6.5 years ago.
Yes, man. Yes.
6-something years ago at this point. So
it's been Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, you can. And then I want to talk, I want Merkin to share his Hank Aaron story. But go ahead, Merkin.
Conor McGregor, when he fought Floyd Mayweather, he brought up Conor McGregor. I had a bunch of people over. I know Cap had people over, but I had some friends over as well. We bought a bunch of beer. It's still in my basement right now. Is it still good, or should I toss it?
Do I think it's still good? Yeah.
Yeah?
That was 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
More than that, probably.
I think your beer is still good.
You know,
that whole born-on date, that whole mysterious born-on date thing?
I don't know, Mark. I would
drink it, man.
Well, I'm not going to drink it, but it's for the next time we have
it. What are you going to do with it, Merk?
Well, I mean, I was considering giving it to people, but like, or I can just next time we have.
What kind of beer is it?
Well, it could be a year and we have outing.
What are we talking about?
We got some craft beer. I bought a bunch of craft beer because we had friends coming over who loved the craft beer, so we have that. And we've got coolers. We've got everything.
Like a wine cooler?
Yeah, yeah.
Bartles and James?
No, we bought like the
Texas tea? Hard Mike's Lemonade doesn't go bad.
Yeah.
Bring it in. I'll take it back to the house. Trust me. There's a bunch of 22-year-old kids would be happy to have free liquor. Are you kidding me?
Mayweather McGregor took place on August 26, 2017.
We're approaching three and a half years ago.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but Yurko's right. It is such a scam. It's the same thing with
it's a scam. Well, you put a born. Think about it. Listen, put the born on date and convince everybody. Oh, the beer's going to go bad. Go buy more beer.
Yeah, listen, if a Twinkie could stay for 100 years, you're telling me that something that's canned or bottled isn't going to stay? I don't buy it. I don't believe it.
Yeah. Now you could ask the question. You know, will the taste be diminished a little bit? Sure, but it's probably close enough where you won't even notice. Again, and if you know what.
What are you going to do, throw it away? You might as well drink it.
Here's the thing. If you do the converse of what Yurko was advising, if you actually do go hard at 11 o'clock, that's the beer you open for the AFC game.
I would agree.
Right. Yeah. Here's your other thing, too. You're more likely to ruin fresh beer, something you just brought at the store, if you accidentally keep it outside in the sun.
Yes.
That beer will be done in a day and a half. That beer will be done. Okay? You keep it in a cool, dark place, like your basement, corner of your garage, on a concrete floor. To me, that stuff's still good.
It'll survive the apocalypse.
That's right.
Go ahead and drink it, Merk. I know you don't drink it, but
just wasting away, keep it handy.
I don't know if anybody else is like this. 312-332-3776, okay? My test and my threshold is, if there was nothing else left to drink in the world, would I drink that bottle? If the answer is yes, then I drink it on a normal occasion.
Is there anything you wouldn't drink? That's my point.
That's my point.
If that's all that's left.
That's it. I think that's my perfect point.
So Hank Aaron has passed away at the age of 86. Hank Aaron, for a lot of people, is still the all-time home run champ. You know, the people that want to take a definitive stand against the steroid era and against Barry Bonds. I never got to meet or interview Hank Aaron all these years in the business. Kind of wish I had. I wish I had seen him play. I mean, Hank Aaron's last truly impactful year from a statistical standpoint, was about 3 years before I was even born, Yerk. I mean, you know, Hank's last really great year I was looking was about 1973.
Right.
I think he broke the record in, was it 75 or 76 that he ended up passing Babe Ruth? It was either 75 or 76. Today.
But it looks like 74. It was April 8th.
Oh, it's 74. Yeah. Okay.
1974.
So 74. It predates me. And I wish I was old enough to have appreciated watching Hank Aaron play. But, of course, I'm not. That doesn't mean I didn't grow up as a young baseball fan, someone who loved the sport of baseball, knowing what Hank Aaron meant to the sport. And, again, I kind of just wish that we would have been around him a little bit more often. Never was. Merck's got a great Hank Aaron story. Tell it, Merck. You've told. I think you've maybe told it.
I've told the story.
You got the weird socks on.
Yeah, I've told the story.
Have you told it on the fireside chat?
Yes, it was a fireside chat.
Do you want us to light a fire for you right now?
No, it's okay, Yerk.
All right, spin some yarns.
All right, I've got two, actually.
Get the crackling sound in the background real quick.
You know what? Let's set the scene, though. Can we play the highlight of him breaking the
record? Yeah, let's do it. Here it is.
Henry Aaron in the second inning walk.
By the way, it's the great Milo Hamilton on the call, too. Here you go. This is 1974.
Henry Aaron in the second inning walked and scored. He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 715. There's a new home run champion of all time.
And as a kid, you'd see, again, I was born a couple years after it happened, but as a kid growing up, you'd see that highlight constantly, and I can picture it, you know, where he's sort of lumbering around the bases, and there are fans everywhere. I mean, something in this day and age that just would never happen.
Wasn't Craig Sager rounding the bases with him?
That's the other famous part of the story, is that Craig Sager was rounding the bases. There are fans everywhere. I mean, Hank Aaron's literally dodging fans trying to get a piece of him as he's rounding third base coming home to score the home, you know, officially score the run that would pass the great Babe Ruth. So, I mean, lives in infamy.
I think he's talked about one of the greatest moments of his life and one of the scariest moments of his life at the same time.
That's
because
right.
He had received numerous death threats.
Yes,
leading
that's
up
right.
to that.
And it's incredible. And Merck will tell his Hank Aaron story when we come back. I want to take phone calls, too. We got some people on the line that wanted to chime in on what Yurko was saying. 312-332-3776. But yeah, Merck will tell his Hank Aaron story. We will preview Championship Sunday. We've got Chris Bryant sound, and for some reason, Chris Bryant's mad at Jesse Rogers, which I don't think he's really all that mad. I think he just needed a vent, and Jesse was the unfortunate victim of the venting.
Sometimes it's good to be the victim.
It makes no sense, you know, to be honest. So, well, we'll get into all of that coming up.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Well, happy Football Friday to everybody. Also today morning, the loss of a true sports legend, baseball legend, Hank Aaron, has passed away at the age of 86. Merck, tell your Hank Aaron story, and we'll take some phone calls.
All right, Carm, I'll try to make this real quickly. So it was back in
take
the...
your time, kid.
Okay.
It's a good story.
Okay, late 90s, I want to say. I was producing at 101 Sports with Bob Berger and Bruce Murray on the weekends. And I had heard the year before on ESPN Radio, they did this great roundtable with three Hall of Fame pitchers. And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing that next year for hitting. I'm going to do that.
Do the hitting round table.
Hitting round table, yep. And I'm like, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to get it done. So I started off in spring training in February, okay? My guys were Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, and Paul Molitor. Okay? Three great, unbelievable hitters of their time.
At this point, were all three, Boggs was probably, were they all three retired?
All three were playing.
All three were playing?
Late 90s, okay, yeah. Gwynn was still great.
When did Tony Gwynn retire? Jeez, was
early
2000s? Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And finally, we got it set up.
Okay.
All their schedules, early, I think it was July 4th, we're going to do it at like 11 o'clock. Okay. Mm-hmm. July 4th, 11 o'clock. And I'm sending email reminders to all the PR guys. Everyone's like, we're in. They're excited. They're all set. That morning at 9:30, I get a call from, I think it's Rick Vaughn, was the Tampa Bay Devil Rays guy, saying, hey,
wild
Wade.
Thing, Rick Vaughn.
Yeah, right. Wade's out. I'm like, out. What? Come on. He's in a slump.
That's unbelievable.
He's out.
So so Wade Boggs is in a slump.
And he's out.
He doesn't want to talk about hitting.
He's out.
That's amazing.
So Bob and Bruce both say to me, Merck, you're fine. We still have Paul Molitor and Tony Gwynn. We're set. I'm like, no, I need a third. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to, who on the road would be a good
home run hitter guy. I'm like, Dave Parker is the A's hitting coach. I call up, he didn't answer. And I'm like, you know what? I said to Bob and Bruce, I'm like, we have a great relationship with Hank Aaron. We've had him on a bunch of times. I call his wife at home. She says, oh, Randy, he's at the office. He worked for the Braves. They've got a 12 o'clock start today. I'm like, great. So I call the office, and I said, Hank Aaron's office, please. Fourth ring, Hank Aaron answers. And I'm like, Mr. Aaron, it's Randy Merkin with 101 Sports. How are you? Fine, Randy. And I'm like, hey, I know this is crazy. We're doing a round table, hitting round table in 30 minutes with Tony Gwynn and Paul Molitor. Is there any chance I can convince you to join us? And he goes, oh, 30 minutes? Sure, I'd be happy to. And he goes, where do you need me to go? I said, you can just sit in your office and do it. He's like, I can? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be over the phone. And he goes, oh, that's great. Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'd be happy to. And then he goes, I'm going to tell you how lucky you are, Randy. And I'm like, how's that? He goes, it rang to my secretary, Susan Bailey's line, and I've never answered it once. And I was leaving, and I happened to answer the phone.
How about that?
Or I would have never done this. So we get, 30 minutes go by. Tony Gwynn's the first guy to call in, and I said, hey, Tony, just FYI, Wade bailed because he's in hitting slump. And I won't say what Tony responded, but he was sincere. Come on, you blank.
Why not? Yeah, give us the clean version.
You blank. You know,
blanking what?
Yeah, he was. Tony Gwynn thought it was funny that Wade.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was it blank Willow?
Yes.
Yeah. So I said, but I went to my bench and I got someone else. He goes, oh, yeah, who'd you get? And I said, Hank Aaron. And he pauses for a second. He goes, man, you got some blanking bench.
That's pretty good, Burke. Yeah.
And then so we started off, and Bob and Bruce just say to all three of the guys, like, hey, listen, we want this to be basically a conversation between the three of you. So we'll start it off, but if any time you guys want to jump in, go for it. So I'm thinking it's not going to happen. A minute in, Hank Aaron goes, hey, Bob and Bruce, do you guys mind if I jump in here? And they're like, no. And he spent the next 13 minutes just grilling Molitor and Tony Gwynn on certain hitting situations. It was absolute gold. And then,
sadly, two of those three are passed now.
Tony Gwynn, yes.
Yeah.
So, and then years later, Brett was doing a project at school. Called Wax Museum, where you had to pick a great person in history and present them, like, you know, as basically you at a wax museum, and you go up to they had a presentation at school where you go up and you'd hit like a button, and that kid would have to go talk about that person, that great person in history. So Brett chose Hank Aaron. So I reached out to his secretary, Susan Bailey, and I said, is there any chance Hank would be willing to do like a 3-minute interview with my son just to kind of go over it? He's done so much in history. She goes, let me check. And she emailed back. She goes, here's what he's going to do. Have Brett send 10 questions over, and Hank will answer all of them for him. And he did
that?
It. And I still have the email with all of his responses.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Go to Hank Aaron's.
Great.
Stuff,
great guy.
Yeah. I mean, really, Hank Aaron tells Mark, yeah, where do you need me to go? I remember when we were Danny went to get Scottie Pippen when we were in Indianapolis.
I remember the story.
Yeah. Said, Danny, Scottie's sitting there. They had us like in the auxiliary press area, which was in the stands where Chuck and Bill were going to be doing broadcasts of the games. Bulls Pacers in 2011. I said, Danny, Scotty's down. Go see if Scotty will come up real quick. We'll talk to Scotty, bring him up here. It literally 200 feet away.
Right.
And Danny walks down. I see Danny, and he's talking to him. And, Danny would relay to us the story later. He said, I went up to him. I said, Scotty, you have a few minutes for Carmen here? He goes, yeah, okay, kind of reluctantly. He said, yeah, the guys are right up there. And he goes, I don't give an F where they are. Put me on the phone. Yeah. I'll do it from right here. Yeah. He was literally sitting on the court across. I mean, we were looking at Scotty. He was 200 feet away from us.
You got to then tell him about Brian Windhorst, who we asked to come up to.
Well, Brian came up in Miami. In your
That's
call.
Where it was,
yeah,
Miami.
We were in Miami.
One was Indianapolis. One was, yeah.
You poor and this Brian was Windhorst. He didn't mind walking up to see
no,
us.
No, he didn't. But
it was
I'll
arduous
tell you,
for
I
Windy.
Was a little bit concerned. Speaking of Windy, very apropos.
Hank Aaron was wind dead.
I thought I literally was going to. I thought I was going to start giving compressions. I was worried.
The great Hank Aaron's telling Randy, "Yeah, where do you need me to go, Randy? I'll go wherever you want."
I've never laid my lips upon a man's lips, for that type of situation. But I thought I might have had to. I was looking up on the computer in front of me.
Stop.
Mouth to mouth resuscitation.
It's terrible. Stop it.
Real quick, since you brought up Danny, he topped the Scottie Pippen one this morning. In the first segment on Cap today, Danny told a story about how they were at spring training a couple of years ago, and 15, 20 feet away, Chris Bryant sitting in a stool with his wife. Danny walked over to him. It was spring training. He tried to convince him to come out with Cap. And Chris never looked up from his phone while his wife basically berated Danny and said he's got no time for that. Get out of here.
Wow, really?
15 feet away from Cap.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising. I thought Chris was always somewhat accessible.
This was prior to Jesse creating clickbait.
I guess, yeah. I mean, really. And we're going to get into that, believe me. Viking Scott's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Well, gentlemen, good. Three games left in the football season, so obviously we're winding down here. But I wanted to give you guys some inside information. You know, a year ago, me and the missus were heading for the AFC Championship with a daughter working for the Chiefs.
Right.
Sat out there in minus eight. So I talked to her this morning. They only have 16,000 tickets. The employees are getting none. And the cheapest ticket available for this weekend is $675.
Wow, that's the why. That's
the
get-in,
$675?
Yeah. Wow.
So then remember, I was her guest at the Super Bowl then. So they had three charter flights that Friday before the game going out. This year, no employees get to go at all.
Right. I saw that NFL's going to sell, I believe, 14,500 tickets. And then I think I saw, and Kevin Seifert wrote a story about this, there will be roughly like 7,000 tickets for essential workers, some personnel from
nurses
the league, right?
Yeah,
all
correct.
Kinds of stuff like that. That they're gonna. So they'll have about 21,000 people, I guess, in the stands for the Super Bowl.
28, I thought.
Oh, 28. Okay, then it was more than I thought. It was 14-7, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
People talk about how accessible these athletes in your stories, and that was a great story about Hank Aaron. Obviously, I've known Yurko playing against him in high school. When I went to training camp, I had my 2-year-old son, and Yurko was a legend up there. I am telling you, he was so accommodating. People were saying, I named my kid after you, Johnny. Come take a picture. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable the way Yurko handled that. And that's why they loved him up there, and that's why he's a legend up there. And I just, you know, these people that do that and can't give you 2 minutes of the time of day, and you're trying to help them out, too, because then they're more accessible to the fans. And
absolutely.
I can never find out why, and it's just that just diminishes, to me, their career. Careers in that, but I'm hoping, you know, obviously the daughter has a chance for their Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting. I would no other inklings here other than the other kids in the family are Packer fans. So if it's Packer Chiefs, we could have a huge rivalry in the household. So.
Good luck, Scotty.
That would be a ball.
Yeah, Scott's daughter.
I always like Scotty too because he sucker punched me my junior year when there was a fight on the football field.
Oh yeah,
TF South, TF North. There's a little brouhaha.
You weren't mad at him for that?
No, why? I always bring it up and I use it against him.
Ben's in Oak Lawn on ESPN 1000. Ben works for a beer company. He's going to answer Merck's question. Does the beer go bad, Ben?
So here's what I can tell you. You guys are partially right. But the first thing I'm going to tell you is those Best Buy dates, those Born On dates, not a scam. Hmm. You got to remember, beer is it's an art form. It's a passion. Like, we want you guys to drink the best beer at the best time. But you guys are right. Like, that beer is not going to go bad. Like, it's not going to hurt you in any way. You're just not going to taste the same flavors. You're not going to have the same complexity. A lot of it's going to degrade out, drop out, and stuff like that. So I always tell people, you know, drink beer before that Best Buy date, but it's okay if it slides past it because there's nothing going to be wrong. And you just got to remember different styles of beer, you know, are going to change over different times. You know, generally speaking, your higher ABV, darker beers will last a lot longer.
Sure.
Than, say, your lighter beers, you know, or if you're looking at a beer that has, like, a lot of flavor coming out of the hop profile, those will drop off real fast. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, some of these pilsners have, like, 100-day, 120-day shelf life to them, and we are still getting those great flavors, and then they kind of drop off.
I got you.
At the end.
Ben, thanks, buddy. The higher the ABV, the longer it's going to last, that's for sure. All right, 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. Why is Chris Bryant so mad at Jesse? I have no idea. We'll play what Chris Bryant said. We'll tell you what Jesse wrote, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it coming up next.
This hour is brought to you by Studio 41 Home Design Showroom. Are open to everyone, homeowners, contractors, designers, and architects. For location, visit shopstudio41.com.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Days ago, Chris Bryant went on Barstool Radio, Redline podcast on Barstool, and he talked about a few things. You know, we played the sound of Chris Bryant talking about Bryce Harper wanted to come to the Cubs, you know, and then he also said this during the podcast.
That's a great question. A really good question. At times,
hashtag
no.
Hashtag as
at
your times, financial really, advisor.
I'm playing a million different things. Let me say, the question when he says, that's a great question, are you still having fun playing baseball? That was the question. that was asked to Chris Bryant?
That's a great question. A really good question. At times, no. At times, it really got to me sometimes, like just the stuff I was hearing. And I think I talked about this a little bit, like 2018, like the first trade rumors that started pop up, like that really got to me. And then, like, I found myself like, man, is this even fun anymore? Like, why did I start playing this game? You know, because it was fun. You know, obviously there's a lot of other stuff involved. Like, you make a ton of money and there's fame and all this, but it's like, you got to get yourself back to why I started playing. And like, I just remember my first home run, running around the bases. My dad picks me up after a round third. I don't even touch home plate, but like, that's the kind of joy that you got to find. And like, I found myself sitting there like, I don't have that joy right now. So it's like, I'm trying all I can to kind of get back to that place. And like, I look back on this year, like, it was really rough for me personally. And like,
all right, so he said it. Chris said it. No, he explained why. You don't have to kill Chris Bryant for that. You don't have to rant and rave. He doesn't have fun anymore. Why wouldn't he? He explained why. Sometimes the business side has gotten to him. Sometimes he's trying to remember what, you know, why he started playing in the first place. Can he recapture that idea and that feeling that brought him to baseball when he was a young kid and hitting that first home run? He said it.
As again, once said, the beer tastes better when you win.
Right.
We used to have that sound bite. We've kept it forever for a long time. The beer tastes better when you win. And it does.
So Jesse Rogers, doing his job,
right,
wrote a story about it. Now, Jesse doesn't write the headlines. Somebody else right. does. But the headline reads, Chicago Cubs Chris Bryant not having as much fun playing baseball as before. That's what Chris Bryant said. Sometimes the headline is misleading. I will agree. And sometimes it's unfair, and it's what they call clickbait in these days.
Right.
But that's what he said.
Right.
And people have to attack Jesse Rogers on Twitter for doing his job, for writing a story. Jesse Jesse made no personal attack or even...
People attacked him because Chris Bryant retweeted
right.
The link to Jesse's story, which simply read Chris, like you said, Carm, the heading, Cubs Bryant not having as much fun as before, with the full link to the body of the article. Then Chris Bryant retweets that with his own quote tweet, must be a slow news day to take something genuine and turn it into something out of context. Do better at ESPN hashtag clickbait.
How is it out of context? And why would
it's
you
not.
And why would you attack Jesse on Twitter for writing a story about something that Chris Bryant said? People have really gone mad.
Like, people are too sensitive nowadays.
Did you read some of the people were saying to Jesse? I mean, it was getting personal.
Why do you pay attention to Twitter? A bunch of anonymous people behind fake names.
I couldn't believe it.
What's the logic?
Who cares?
What's the logic behind going after Jesse? I'm trying to understand. Somebody help me. I doubt that they'll call, but because Twitter is just made for this. Unfortunately, it's pathetic. But I'd love the explanation as to why you'd attack Jesse and what exactly Jesse or anybody else in this situation did wrong. I'd love to know. I'd love to know how it was taken out of context. I really would.
Well, it wasn't. Did he expect nobody to hear it? That's why he did it on Redline Radio. He expected nobody to hear it.
But they have a big following.
I understand.
People follow it.
People in the industry follow it for sure. So if Chris Bryant's going to be on, everybody's going to make sure they go and they listen to it. So you're not going to hide anything anywhere. Am I right or am I wrong?
Jesse, you're right. Jesse made no commentary on, you know, is it right or wrong for Chris to say he's not having fun playing baseball anymore? He wrote up a story based on the quotes that came out of Chris Bryant's mouth.
But I don't understand. What's the reaction to Twitter? Who gives a rat's ass what Twitter says? When did all of a sudden Twitter become something special? Oh, my God. It's the number one authority on what's happening in the world. It's not. The problem is people have a tendency to pay too much attention to it. Some idiot decided to say something on Twitter, and all of a sudden you guys are going to do back handsprings?
Living in the micro byte world where everything is reduced to, you know, 140 or 280 characters nowadays.
Yeah. Micro stupidity. It
really is because Chris Bryant lashes out at Jesse because literally if you click on the link that Jesse provides, Jesse doesn't have, you know, 1,000 characters in the tweet to relay every quote that Chris Bryant put out there.
Right.
So Jesse condenses it into an article, and then gives you the quotes in the body of the article. You're too lazy to click on the article and read the entirety of it, and maybe that's Jesse's fault?
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
No, but that's truly what it is, because then Chris Bryant tweets out and responds to Jesse because he's upset that the juiciest soundbite has been put in the headline. Yeah, we know. It's a long-form interview. Anybody who wants it, it's there for you. It's available. But, like, I'm sorry. The reality is everything gets reduced down to the key sound bites that people want to take away.
Well, Chris Bryant's got to know that. I mean, he's not a kid. He's been in this league for how long?
I mean, he's grown up within the Twitter era, though. You know, so you're right. He's not a kid. And he's been familiar with what social media is from the onset, from the jump. Am I right? 07 Twitter was born, right? So you're looking at 13, 14 years we've lived in Twitter. Pretty much his adult life since he was 14.
That's true.
So if anybody should be accustomed to what happens there, it should be him.
I don't, taken out of context. There's nothing that's been taken out of context. There's not one thing. Not one thing in the headline or the story is taken out of any context. By the way, your quotes. They are your own words from 48 hours ago.
In that same interview, he also mentions that he thought the Cubs were going to get Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. We played that soundbite yesterday.
Yeah, we played that yesterday.
Yeah, nice try, Merck.
Thanks, Merck. Appreciate that.
Thanks for taking us out of context.
The sensitivity. Mod on. If you've got a thought on it.
Like I said, I mean, why you go in there and, like, I'll post something, people react to it. I don't care what people say. Somebody wants to react to my story, go ahead and react to it. But I'm not going to sit and go through it and react to people that might be negative to me. They can go blow it out their keys.
And the truth is, like, Jesse now has to defend himself because Chris Bryant's tweet calls attention to it. And because Chris Bryant puts Jesse on the defensive with his words, his own words, he's taking offense to it. Now everybody who is, like, a Cubs fan and, you know, is really a huge Chris Bryant fan immediately turns on Jesse because of what Chris Bryant is
doing. So Jesse should say positive or negative, spell the name right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Just spell the name right. Jesse Rogers, spell it right.
312-332-3776 if you have a thought. We'll talk more about this and Championship Sunday coming up, including a soundbite that'll tell you that Patrick Mahomes was almost nearly a Buffalo Bill. How about that? We'll play it when we come back in 2 minutes.